All right. Good morning. I'm David Vladek. I am currently teaching at Georgetown Law School. I'm about to go work at the Federal Trade Commission, and therefore I must say that everything I say here cannot and should not be held against the Federal Trade Commission. I would like to begin first by introducing our panelists today. This is, I think, an absolutely all-star cast of people who've been following the question of centralized review for since 1981, when it was formally institutionalized by President Reagan. Speaking first is Curtis Copeland. Curtis has inherited the Mort Rosenberg Chair at the Congressional Research Service as the expert, the resident expert on regulatory review. Curtis is a longtime employee of the Congressional Research Service. There's no one more knowledgeable about the history and performance of OIRA. Going next will be our CPR colleague. Going next will be Adam Finkel. Adam now shares time between the University of Pennsylvania Law School, where he co-directs their program on regulation, and Rutgers University, where he also teaches and consults on regulatory issues. I know Adam because for years, it seemed like decades or centuries, Adam ran the Health Standards Bureau at the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and was a regular customer of OIRA's. I think Adam will talk in some about his experiences dealing with OIRA. I'm not sure it's good that Adam and Sally are sitting next to one another, but we'll keep a close eye on them. Next is Bill Funk, our CPR colleague. Bill teaches at the Lewis and Clark Law School. He had served in the Office of Legal Counsel. Bill has written extensively on regulatory review, particularly in the context of environmental regulation. Bill, too, is quite an expert. Sally needs no introduction. She served as the administrator of OIRA during the Clinton administration and then became the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget. Extensive government service, helped run the OIRA and OMB transition for President Obama, has been very involved in setting the framework for the Obama's administration policy on regulatory review, and I hope she'll spill her guts today and tell us what's really going on. And last but certainly not least is my friend Paul Noe. Paul has been sort of the responsible opposition ever since he served on the Hill as a staffer, working on centralized review issues. Then he went to the Office of Management and Budget, to OIRA, to be counselor to the administrator. He's served in all sorts of other positions in both government and in private industry. He currently is the Vice President for Public Policy at the American Forest and Paper Institute. He also serves on the ABA's Council of the Ad Law Section on the Regulatory Review panel. Paul is exceptionally knowledgeable as well about these issues, both from his service as an insider at OIRA and his service since then. I want to start by just sort of throwing out what I think are the difficult questions this administration is going to face, and ask our panelists to try to address some of these issues in the 5 to 7 minute presentation that will follow. As all of you know, the idea of some form of executive branch review of agencies, presidential review of agency regulatory output, has been with us in some form or another since the Ford administration. Obviously, it was formalized, institutionalized, and given a home with the Reagan administration. Since then, there has been robust debate on a number of key questions that will not go away. One is the legitimacy of this kind of centralized regulatory review. President Reagan's executive order first articulated theories of the unitary president. Have we all become Unitarians? Is the question about the legitimacy of centralized review still on the table or not? Second, there have long been concerns about transparency. There's been an evolution, of course, in the thinking about transparency The Clinton executive order departed markedly from the Reagan executive order on the question of transparency, but critics of the process say that it is still not a transparent process because there are all sorts of executive branch contacts preceding the formal submission of the rule that often play a great role in formulating the rule. Those contacts are not disclosed under the current executive order. Cass Sunstein, when he filled out his questionnaire for the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, ducked that question with surprising lack of grace. But I think the signal he was trying to send was, I don't intend to change the transparency rules. The third is, what should be reviewed? Since the Reagan executive order, there have been two principal metrics. One is the annual economic impact of the rule, and the second is a very much a mandate to OIRA to pick out rules that have cost-cutting impact and to review those as well. So one question is, should there be automatic OIRA review of rules simply because of their economic impact? If OIRA is going to be in the business of reviewing specific rules, how should those rules be selected? There are also the subsidiary questions about what should OIRA be reviewing for. We will have a separate panel next on cost-benefit analysis, and so I don't want to dwell on that, but there are some fundamental questions. I mean, one question that was posed to the prior panel was, well, what should the metric be? Should it be 1 in 1 million deaths? Should it be 1 in 100,000 deaths? Well, for many agencies that don't do environmental regulation, we're talking about risks of 1 in 1,000 or less, and they're not necessarily risks of death. They're risks of injury, illness, other forms of harm that OIRA, I think, has never been able to grapple with in a serious way. Delay. One of the interesting, and I urge you, all of you, to take a look at the comments that were filed with OMB recently on OMB's request for information about what to do with the executive order. Peter Shane has filed comments making the case on cost-benefit grounds that OIRA's review of rules is too damn expensive, particularly for its uncertain benefits. What about delay? What about the delay that's built into a process that has this extra level of non-statutory review? Science and expertise. All this wonderful discussion last panel about what are inherently scientific questions, yet there aren't scientists at OIRA. They're economists, they're policy analysts. What role should OIRA play, if any, in reviewing scientific judgments by technical agencies? There's also the question of what sort of overarching guidance OIRA should give. Should OIRA be trying to push one-size-fits-all requirements for risk assessment, regulatory review, peer review, data quality? And last, not that I have any personal stake in this, but what about the independence? One of the sort of the third rail questions has always been, to what extent should, putting aside whatever constitutional objections might or might not be raised, what should we do about the independence? There are a lot of pesky independents out there that might get peskier in the next few years. what, if anything, should the president do about that? So I've laid out what I think are sort of the key issues I'd like the panelists to address, and now I'm going to be particularly unfair because I'm only going to give them 5 to 7 minutes, and I have a hook. So we will start with Curtis.